More than likely, Joseph was having a difficult time. He was betrothed, he was engaged to a young lady by the name of Mary. We know that. And at some point during their engagement, Joseph learned that Mary was pregnant. The problem was, he knew he wasn't the father, for they had not come together yet. We believe that Mary had likely conveyed to Joseph that she had been visited by the Archangel Gabriel, who told her that she would conceive by the miraculous work of the Holy Spirit and that she would give birth to the Son of Almighty God. So, if all that is accurate, if Mary conveyed those things to Joseph, can you understand how it would be that Joseph might be having just a little bit of a difficult time with this? I mean, it's very possible that no one in the history of the world who was found to be pregnant outside of wedlock, it's possible that no one has ever given that as a reason. Right? I get it. So surely Joseph was almost assuredly struggling to know what to do. This is what Matthew records. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. Point of clarification. You will note that it says here that Joseph was her husband. In point of fact, we don't believe that the marriage ceremony had taken place yet. Earlier in the passage, it clearly says they were engaged. So, why does it say her husband? Because in Jewish practice, an engagement was considered as binding as a marriage. In fact, if someone who was engaged wanted to get out of the engagement, they had to have valid reasons, the same reasons they would need if, in fact, they were fully married. To break the engagement, you actually had to get a divorce. Way different, completely different than how we understand engagement today. So Joseph learns of Mary's pregnancy. In reality, believe it or not, I know many of you know this, Joseph could have had her stoned to death. Now, historians tell us that that actually only rarely happened in these circumstances, but it was an option. Another option was to break the engagement by divorce and have her publicly humiliated in some other way, or the woman in question could be quietly sent off, probably to some other village to live with some distant relatives and basically never heard from again. So while Joseph is contemplating his options, God steps into the scene. He sends Joseph a dream, a very impressionable dream, an impressive, it took Joseph. In this dream, he is visited by the angel of the Lord, and the angel of the Lord speaks to Joseph. Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. The first thing to notice is that the angel references the lineage of Joseph. He's a descendant of David. Then he is told not to be afraid to go ahead and proceed with the marriage. And the angel corroborates Mary's story. He confirms that Mary is, well, had in fact been faithful to him, and that the child she carried was truly an act of God by a miracle of God. God had simply determined that Mary would be the vessel that would carry the Son of God until the time of His birth. He had decided it, and it was so. And one of the things to see here is that God was going to see to it that His Son was taken care of. And actually, we see this at least three additional times when God spoke to Joseph through dreams, giving him information that would keep Jesus, Mary, and Joseph safe from harm. The angel then confirms some other things that Gabriel had spoken to Mary. And he says that Joseph is to give his son a very specific name, the name Jesus. And why the name Jesus? Because the name Jesus, which is an English transliteration of the Greek name Jesus, which is a Greek transliteration of the Hebrew name Yeshua, Jesus, Jesus, Yeshua, mean Savior, the one who saves. And that was pretty much it for the dream, at least this dream. There would be other dreams. The dream wherein Joseph was warned in the middle of the night to get Mary and Joseph up in the middle of the night and hightail it out of Bethlehem and go to Egypt. Then there was the dream 6 or 7 years later when God said it's time to come back to Israel from Egypt. And then as they're approaching Israel, another dream where Joseph is told to go to Nazareth and not to Bethlehem or to Jerusalem. Matthew ends the account with this summation. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she had given birth to a son. And he gave him the name Jesus. Joseph was convinced. He believed what the angel of the Lord had spoken to him in the dream. He went ahead with the marriage to Mary, and then the waiting began. They waited and waited until the time of the birth of Jesus. Some of that time of waiting, Mary had stayed with her older cousin, Elizabeth. She stayed with Elizabeth and her husband Zechariah for 3 months. And no doubt she helped Elizabeth out during her pregnancy, for Elizabeth was quite a bit older. In her womb, in Elizabeth's womb, was none other than John the Baptist. And after spending 3 months with Elizabeth, about the time of Elizabeth's birth to John the Baptist, Mary returned home. One of the things that the angel of the Lord was telling Joseph was this. Soon, but not yet. Soon, but not yet. That actually kind of sounds like last week's sermon about waiting. We heard much the same in the Old Testament lesson from Isaiah. The prophet told the king at that time that God would deliver him from the two kings he was fearing were going to invade his land. But Isaiah told him that it would be soon, but not yet. Also in that prophecy, you saw that it was a prophetic utterance about the Messiah being born, the baby who one day Mary would carry in her womb. But back to Joseph and Mary. Now, they both have heard from God about this miraculous conception. Soon they would hold in their arms a miracle baby, the very Son of God. Soon, but not yet. 9 months, at least Mary knew about it for 9 months. We aren't exactly sure how far along Mary was before Joseph had his dream, but wait, they must. One wonders how those 9 months went. was Mary filled with anticipation and awe? Did she have moments of panic? Like if she stumbled over the root of a tree and thought she was going to fall to the ground carrying the Son of God in her womb. How much did Joseph wonder about how Mary and the baby were faring during their 69-mile trip from Nazareth to Bethlehem? Oh, but wait. That's if they were able to fly. They weren't. They more likely had to take a route that ended up being more like 90 miles. And remember, Mary is nearing the end of her 9 months. What a difficult journey that must have been for her. Did she walk? Did she ride a donkey, as is often portrayed on Christmas cards? Either way, an arduous task for someone in her condition. Any women here volunteering who would be 9 months pregnant and want to go 90 miles either walking or on a donkey? Didn't think so. Soon, but not yet. Soon, but not yet. When it comes to pregnancy, waiting is required. It's soon, but not yet. Yes, I know that in the last trimester, well, that last trimester results in many a pregnant woman wishing the soon but not yet would be more likely or more gladly. Right now would be just fine, thank you. Boy, that was a good line. The older women in the first service got it. Anyway, it's all in the delivery, I know. But consider this. An elephant's gestation period is 2 years. 9 months. Piece of cake. I know. Spoken like a man who will never understand what women go through in childbirth. I get it. But the soon but not yet, with respect to Jesus, has yet another application. We are told in the New Testament that the Lord's return, quote, is at hand. We heard about it last week from James. Well, it's been at hand for quite some time. The Apostle Paul also tells us that Christ's return is imminent, soon. But not yet. Yes, here in the year 2016, we are told by the biblical writers that His return is soon, but not yet. And most of us take that to mean that we are to be patient and looking forward to the physical return of Jesus, when He will bring with Him the host of heaven, raise from the dead those who left their earthly life holding faith in Him, and then descend to earth bringing judgment upon the rebellious sons of God, both the fallen spirit sons of God and the rebellious human sons and daughters of God. And that day will come. It may not come for another 1,000 years, or 100 years, or 10 years, or... And it could be today. But He will come, and you and I are called to be ready. For soon but not yet will one day suddenly change to right now, this very instant. But consider too the fact that all human beings end this life the same way. Their earthly bodies, which Paul refers to as our tents because of the impermanence of them, our human bodies give out. Just a week ago yesterday, our brother in Christ, Norman Mankey, died suddenly and unexpectedly. When Merlene and Norman got up that morning, they didn't know that a short time later, that soon but not yet would change to right now for Norman. I mentioned this, first of all, so that you would keep Merlene and her two grown children in your prayers, whether you knew her, whether you know her or not. And secondly, I share this because should the physical return of Jesus still be a long way off, our time will come as well. And there is the need to be ready, to always be ready, to always keep your faith focused aright. For it's not just beginning the walk of faith. It's ending it well in faith in Jesus. And let me share with you one more application of soon but not yet. Every one of us has had things for which we've prayed that don't ever seem to get answered. One reason that our prayer may not get answered is because, well, maybe we prayed for the wrong thing. And God may have simply said, no. And if you're willing to accept it, that is an answer to your prayer. Yeah. But there's another possibility. It is also possible that God has indeed answered your prayer. And you say, wait, how can that be? How can that be? He may have answered your prayer, but you missed it because you were so affixed on how God should answer your prayer that you missed the way that He did answer your prayer. I think most of us are probably guilty of that. You're so sure that what you're praying for is just the right thing, the thing God obviously will want to do. And so you look for it that way. And you don't see how He answered it this way. Then there's this too. There are prayers and requests that we bring to God's throne of grace wherein the answer is from God, soon, but not yet. Have you ever stopped to consider the fact that when God does something in your life, that there's a strong possibility that His answer to your prayer may affect any number of other people? It may be just one person. It could be hundreds of people. Could be hundreds of people. And it could be that some of those other people aren't yet ready to hear the news of how God answered your prayer. Now, you may or may not be happy to hear that, but it is the truth. How about this? How about instead of just praying for this thing alone, you also start praying for all the people God wants to touch through this answer to your prayer? That just could have an effect on how and when your prayer is answered. The truth is, when it comes to God and our relationship with Him, there are all kinds of applications to the soon, but not yet. When you think you're in the middle of a soon, but not yet situation with God, broaden your horizon. Ask God to help you see what He's about, what He's doing. and how he might want you to be personally involved in that thing that he's doing. Such a prayer may just open up a whole new set of insights pertaining to your relationship with God. In our relationship with God, through faith in Jesus, there can be a great number of soon but not yet times. And that's because, you ready for this? That's because God knows what He's doing. Even if many times we don't know what we're doing or what He's doing. Soon, but not yet. With that, I invite you to rise for prayer.